Hey, you're listening to Timothy Robinson on the new Pneuma Godcast. Please make sure you tune in every week to your host, Norman Brown, and please make sure you subscribe for further episodes. God bless.
Instead of having a mindset like Paul going on missions, a tent maker, he had a business, so he was able to go and do, and not, even though he received the offerings of the church, he would still go on. He still was able to survive, even if the church wasn't able to do it.
Yeah, man, I have to agree with you. And I have accepted the fact, I hate to say this, but I've accepted the fact that Christians are not, it's only a few choice Christians, believers out here, who really understand the magnitude of their giving and why they should give, and who are actually that tapped into, you know. According to the scriptures, there are people that have the gift of giving, but there are, all of us in some capacity have the responsibility to fund the gospel. Now, I have come to the conclusion that I'm not going to depend on Christians for me to do the work of the ministry. I'm sorry, but too many times, you know, the kind of people that I've seen out here that, you know, tend to have a lot of money, it seems, are the ones who constantly on TV, in so many words, giving somebody a promise for something that they give a certain amount of money and all this kind of stuff. And I ain't doing no gimmicks like that. I'm sorry. Right. It's not gonna happen. If a person doesn't see that a light bill has to be paid, and it doesn't get paid for free, or that if I'm on TV that, you know, I'm going to need money to stay on TV. And if they want me to stay on TV, then they are part of what helps me to stay there or whatever. Then, you know what? Whatever. I mean, I'm not asking them. I'm not begging them. You know, I'm just going to keep on moving forward with the mindset that until the day comes that God sends some people my way that actually see the vision and they see how they can help and they actually want to help, and then they make it a priority to help, then it is what it is. I'm funding the gospel, that the ministry that God has given me. I'm funding it with the money that God puts in my hands, and I'm not depending on anybody else. It's a shame that you have to think that way these days, but I'm not going to be that person selling gimmicks.
Right.
Again, you know, it is what it is. You know that it costs money to do stuff. So why is it that you will benefit from what someone is doing in ministry, but yet not so into it? That's right. A shame. That's like going into a store talking about, I want some milk, and you just going to take it. You stole. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And they have a faulty mindset about that, about ministry. It's like, it's supposed to be, it's spiritual, so it's supposed to be free. It's supposed to be that whole way of thinking. We don't see that anywhere in the scripture. We see where even Christ, he had women who were devoted to make sure that they invested in his ministry, following him. You know, exactly. He had a treasurer, you know, so this whole mindset is really, it's demonic. It's a demonic doctrine to try to defund or immobilize the movement of the gospel. Nevertheless, the preacher, the minister, has to be resourceful, and we have to see how we can make moves and do it, even if people don't give. But that doesn't take away from the responsibility, like you said, the responsibility of believers to do what they need to do.
This actually segues into one of the ones that you and I did not discuss, but it's coming up in this conversation. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. But we can start a couple of verses before that because we want to give context. So I'm going to start at verse 5. So verse 5 says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans do not enter, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Then he says, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Now, this is a scripture verse that people have misquoted, misused, and misunderstood. Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. So when people use this scripture, it's like they're trying to say, when you do the work of the ministry, then you shouldn't have to, you know, nobody should have to give money to help you with your ministry, in so many words. But that's not talking about a ministry going forward. It's talking about healing the sick, cleansing the lepers. This is talking about when you lay hands on somebody for them to be healed, you shouldn't be doing that for a price.
Right.
That's what that's referring to. This is not talking about doing the work of the ministry, because in the very next verse, you see where he says, don't provide gold, silver, or brass in your purses. In other words, he's basically saying, don't take any money with you.
Right.
He said, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat.
That's it.
I mean, it's very clear right there. So if you are listening to this video and you're one of those kind of people that thought, oh, well, if they receive freely, they should freely give. And you think that that's talking about a ministry, and you're thinking, oh, that means I don't need to give any money to them. That's not what that means. That is not what that's referring to. That is a misquoting, a misunderstanding, and a misappropriating of that scripture.
Right.
So the bottom line is, you gotta realize what Jesus is talking about, dividing. And that brings me to another verse that, you know, is very important to this conversation. And it's found in Timothy. And it is 1 Timothy, I believe. No, it's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:15, but I'm going to start at verse 14. And it says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearer. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And their word will eat as does a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So right here we see one of the reasons why we need to study to show ourselves approved. Because when we do not study to show ourselves approved, then we could throw ourselves off and other people off, because we spoke something out of, you know, we spoke something in a wrong way. We misspoke. We misquoted, we misunderstood. And that's because we haven't studied enough to know what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's good.
And, you know, I wanna just say something real quick, because I don't know if I've ever actually shared this on the podcast. But, you know, first of all, you know, I've known for most of my life, since I was about, I don't know, probably 6 years old or something around that time, 6 to 8, somewhere between there, the Lord revealed to me through my grandmother that I had a call of God on my life into the ministry. But over the years, you know, I started to study the Bible, and I had a hunger for the Bible and whatnot. I started preaching at the age of 12, And then by the time I was a teenager, I was really like heavily into the Book of Revelations. And already by that time I had been, you know, baptized in the Holy Spirit and water and all that. And when I got to the point where I was an adult, I was working at this company, which is ironic. The name of it is kind of ironic. It was called Bethlehem Steel, Bethlehem being the key word. And I was there for 8 years approximately. And during that 8 years, the way that the job was set up was, if you did not have any work to actually do, you sat in the shop until you were called to fix something. That's just the way it worked. And so I was on shift work, and literally I would come in, I would bring my Bible, my concordance, a notebook, and sometimes I would bring a couple books with me that I've been reading, you know, trying to get a deeper understanding of spiritual truths. And I would sit there, and I had a corner that I would sit in, and I literally could study the Bible for 24 hours or more per week based on that alone. That's something that is unheard of. There's not many people that's able to study the Bible for 24 hours a week. And that was the minimum that I was able to study. Because if you think about it, I was there for an 8-hour day, 5 days a week. And for 8 hours, many days I would be there for 8 hours and not have to do anything. And I could sit in that corner and I could study.
Right.
So that didn't even include the amount of time I studied the Bible when I was at home. I studied the Bible at home too. And I would break out my concordance. And back then it was a big, thick book like this. It was a thick book. And you just flipping the pages and looking for keywords, and you find all the verses that that keyword is in. It was amazing how much you could learn from the Bible just looking at all the scriptures in front of you that have that one key word, and you look at all the verses that stick out to you, and like, wait a minute, let me see what that said here. And then all of a sudden, it's like all this revelation is just opening up to you. Right. Anyway, my point is this, man, just so people know, because like I said, I may or may not have ever actually explained this to my audience and for those that are coming on, but I studied the word for many, many hours and years, and I've learned a whole lot, and I've actually gone into places that people who've gone to seminaries haven't even gone. And they might go into some stuff like what the Greek language says about certain things and what the Hebrew language might say about certain things. I've dabbled in the Hebrew and the Greek language, and I know certain words and whatnot as well. But, you know, knowing certain things like grammar and all that kind of stuff in the Hebrew and Greek, it is useful for certain things. But bottom line, when you study the word like I'm talking about, you know a lot. You will learn a lot. And so I'm just letting people, I'm saying this so you understand that I'm not a novice at what I talk about on this show, on this podcast. This is not something that, you know, I just happen to read a scripture today and I want to share it or something. I've been studying this stuff for years, and it's been overflowing from my belly, you know, and I just want to share it to help other people grow in their walk with the Lord and to go deeper. So I just wanted to get that out of the way, man. And I know, Terrence, I know you could say the same type of thing, man. Similar type of story. Study for years. You know the scriptures very well. And then you had experiences outside of studying the Bible that actually helped you to get more insight into what the scriptures are saying, you know, and whatnot. So I just wanted to share that before we move on. But today, like we've said from the beginning, we're talking about misquoted, misappropriated, and misunderstood scriptures. So this is not an attack on anybody. This is about bringing enlightenment. This is about opening up our eyes to things that we hear often but are said the wrong way or whatever the case may be.
So I want to share something right before you go to the next thing on the topic of studying. Because there's an aspect of studying the scriptures as digging into the actual scriptures, like you said, going into the Strong's Concordance, reading, referencing, and that kind of stuff. But I just want to encourage, because some people are not studious when it comes to reading.
Thanks for listening to the New Pneuma Godcast once again. This is your host, Norm. Follow me at Norm the Professor on IG. I'm in agreement for power and breakthrough in your life. Keep tuning in every week for that real talk, new life.